Welcome to the College Composition and Communication Podcast. I'm your host for this episode, the 3Cs Fellow, Kifaya Diab. In today's episode, Cassandra Woody speaks to us about her feminist pedagogy in teaching writing in what she calls procedural feminism. If you're looking for ways to engage feminist theory in your first year writing courses without driving students away, today's episode might be of special interest to you. Thank you for being here, Cassandra, to talk about the project behind your article, Reengaging Rhetorical Education Through Procedural Feminism, Designing First-Year Writing Curricula That Listen. My first question is about this term that you came up with, procedural feminism. Where does it come from?
Yeah, sure. So it was actually a really like serendipitous moment for me and this article, I'd say. So it's when I was still in grad school and I was an assistant director of first-year composition. And we were going through a major shift at the time. So we had a current, we had gone through, like, it seemed we were kind of switching directors quite a bit. So I think we may have had three curricula like in circulation at the time. And the provost wasn't really happy with anything that was going on. And our student responses weren't, it just didn't feel like they were connecting, weren't. Like, we know as rhetoricians or when we're doing scholarship that it's really important to take, especially if we're, you know, doing feminist rhetoric, to take into account that, like, the way rhetoric has been approached or talked about has been from a very singular perspective, and we have to shift that. Even the way that, like, we research and approach research, and there didn't seem to be room in the classroom and in, like, first-year composition curricula to do that. And so I started kind of, like, my praxis and theory were, like, working side by side the entire time. And so that's where procedural feminism came from. As I was doing assessment and reading real students, I mean, like, hundreds and hundreds, if maybe not up to 1,000 students' responses to curriculum, how they could feel alienated by theory, but I knew that theory was so critical. I thought, like, we have to find a way to distill theory, to, like, embed it into our curriculum in a way that we're not kind of presenting it to them as, like, this is a feminist course, but this is a course in rhetoric, and then everything we do is, like, a feminist approach to rhetoric. It has to make sense, especially if we're bringing it to our first year students in a general education course. So it was this desire to kind of balance all these things at once, like really taking our feminist rhetoric seriously, of redesigning curricula that takes into account student needs. And then we have the provost also telling us, you know, like the real, like, politics of university. We need something different. We needed to do this. We need our students to respond to it. And then also doing it in a way that our instructors, whether they're master's students, because at OU our master's students teach in the classroom as well. And, you know, we might have a master's student who's studying medieval literature. They have, like, no concept of rhetorical theory, or, you know, they're not reading Burke or Ratcliffe or Kirsch or anyone. They're rooted in a very different place. I had to think, like, how can we distill this in a way that they can effectively teach it and understand it as well?
Well, that's great that you found a way to negotiate the implementation of feminist approaches amid these political tensions. So how does procedural feminism look like in your courses? Would you give us some examples about that?
I gave three specific assignments, and they're specifically, like, each of them them are kind of taking different feminist approaches to rhetoric. The first one is a values analysis, which on the surface, like, they're like, oh yeah, I did this in high school, right? I wrote about, you know, what's most important to me, or, you know, what, or I did a this I believe. But what we specifically do, like, the focus in that is to make our students very aware that, like, there's no universal understanding of any value. These are all very rooted in personal history and material reality and, like, how we have experienced and been experienced by the world, which is the first step in breaking down assumptions that the whole world operates for everyone the way it operates for me. And then the next one in my article is one where they investigate an organization that's intervening in a social issue. And so suddenly, and it's through a values analysis again, they look to see, like, what value they see, like, driving all that they do, and how that value kind of brings difference together. So, like, suddenly you can see that, like, sameness and difference is coexisting in this one place to achieve a certain goal. And the third one is my absolute favorite, which really stresses rhetorical listening. It is very, very purposefully not a Rogerian argument. It's very purposefully not doing what I think a lot of assignments have done, to where they have students write from the opposition's point of view with the kind of, you know, understanding of, to really be able to hear someone, you have to argue for them. And so I thought, how do we get students to be able to understand or hear the cultural logic from which something comes, but not feel obligated to support it or defend it or be swayed by it? So they have to do, like, a close read of a text that's taking a position that they disagree with. Mm-hmm. And throughout the entire thing, they're tasked with never, ever moving into dismissing or accepting it. I had a white male student one time that was like, I want to write about the wage gap because I think it's nonsense. And I'm like, okay, well, first of all, that's not really, like, something you could vote on, right? It needs to be, like, a political issue that has it. This is just you disagreeing. But let's go further than that. What do you have at stake in the wage gap debate, right? Like, as a white male, like, what do you have at stake in this? Mm-hmm. Other than you just want to say, no, it's fine, women get paid what they deserve. So we always have to kind of, like, trace back these things too. So we can think about, like, are you just arguing for the sake to be confrontational? Because I think that's something that we really need to work on moving students out of as well. Are you arguing because you care and you have a stake in something?
I am sure that many instructors and WPAs would be interested in reading this article and perhaps applying procedural feminism and other theories the way you did. Thank you so much for being with us today, and I'm looking forward to reading more from you in the future.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you for listening to us today. From me, the 3Cs fellow, Kifaya Diab, have a nice day.